Hi there, Charles here from the future with some explanations about what you're about to listen to. So the episode that you're about to listen to was actually recorded way back in August. And what ended up happening was we recorded the episode and then SAG-AFTRA went on strike. And when SAG-AFTRA went on strike, they put out a thing that basically said, we don't want anybody to do any unpaid promotion for anything that's made by a struck company. And that includes any rewatch podcasts of anything that's currently on a service that's being housed by a struck company. And so out of an abundance of caution, we made the decision to pull the Twins episode. We took like 2 weeks off or something, and then we came back and we did some other stuff. We do think most of the Twins episode still holds up. A lot of it is about the short, the Twins, and that's timeless. But there are a few things that I just want to address up front as things that I need to sort of address in hindsight, because now it's been, you know, 6 months since we recorded this episode. We are still using the old intro and outro in this episode, so don't be jump scared by the fact that you're hearing the old stuff. We just didn't bother to change it. We're presenting this episode as is. I mentioned very early on in the episode, I literally open with it, some stuff on Twitter about people being wrong about some Ahsoka stuff. That's kept in there mainly for historical preservation, and also we can't really remove it from the intro of the episode. But just keep in mind, a lot of that is old and about Twitter drama that I don't even frankly fully remember what was going on. I do mention at one point Threads doesn't have a following feed. At the time it didn't. They have since updated Threads, which I don't use, but they have updated it to have that following feed. We mentioned Chris from JGuys and Jedis still dealing with the aftermath of the house fire that destroyed his house. I am pleased to report that Chris is doing a whole lot better now. I actually did a podcast with him and Colton and Hope. Did an episode of JGuys and Jedi a couple of weeks back. So he is doing much better. My boyfriend and I are still watching Monster. It is 74 episodes long, and we're watching Hazbin Hotel. We were watching Hazbin Hotel, and we were watching Hell of a Boss at the same time. So we're still working on that, but we're almost done. We are still using the old pluggables. So a couple of slight changes to the pluggables. In the episode, we promote Temptation Island. We've now actually moved on to promoting Married to Medicine. I also do not mention Beach House Studios, which is the series of gay thriller novels that I have on Kindle Unlimited. So I'm mentioning that up front here. Finally, if you stick around for the end clip, the TikTok couple that we're talking about is the Nikki and Pierre couple. At the time, they were a TikTok couple that broke up. And at the time, it was such a big deal that it got like covered in like gay news publications. Like everybody was talking about it at the time, which is why we make a joke about it in the end clip. So that's what was going on with that. I hope you guys enjoy the vast majority of this episode. I think it's pretty timeless and holds up pretty well.
Hello, and welcome to the show Gold Squadron Gaze. It's the podcast where two Star Wars loving gays break down each episode of their favorite Star Wars TV shows while also being gay as hell. I'm your host, Bradley Brower.
I'm your other host, Charles Rogers, and you are all banned from Twitter. You're all banned from Twitter after this week. I'm taking it away from you. You can't have it anymore.
Oh, God.
You have lost Twitter. Everyone, the entire Star Wars fan community, you have lost your Twitter privileges for the shit show that was this week on Twitter. All of you sit down. You are all wrong about everything. Stop it. Stop posting. Stop. Bradley, how do you feel about not being on Twitter?
Pretty great. I'm assuming you're referring to the overflow of articles and things that come out of like 30 things you missed in the Ahsoka trailer.
I'm actually not. That would be preferable. let's see. There was some controversy over a Lego minifigure. I'm not going to say the context in case our listeners are avoiding Ahsoka spoilers. Mothma was in the Ahsoka trailer for like 6 seconds. And people are being wrong about her on... No. Oh. They're being wrong about her demilitarization policies on Twitter again. And I'm like, all of you sit down and shut up. You're wrong.
I saw something stupid about her hair.
Who's complaining about her? Oh, they were like, I saw that. They're
like,
too.
That's not her hair or whatever.
I saw and that
it's like,
too.
Why is her hair the same as an Andor? And then it was like, what the fuck are you talking about? Like, are you like, that's what you're focusing in on right now? Like, that is the last thing in the trailer I noticed. I was like, are you fucking serious? Like, it was just so stupid. Anyway,
it's dumb.
We'll talk about that soon.
We'll talk about that when we get to Ahsoka episode 0, which will be coming up soon. Oh, it's been an exhausting week to be on Twitter. You haven't even signed up for Threads, I don't think.
Oh, and I won't.
You learned your lesson from Twitter?
No, I mean, here's the thing. If Zuckerberg doesn't want to give us porn too, then it's not going to work.
Yeah.
So it's just a waste of his time. You might as well go ahead and delete it now.
As we all know, the viability of a website can be tracked by how much theoretical porn you can view on it.
Exactly. So if Tumblr I can't even
really
do that
went
shit,
downhill. Yeah, nah. Tumblr went downhill when they took the porn away.
Right. And honestly, and my thing is like same with that. If you can't even show, you know, anything on Instagram and Threads is using the same fucking rules, it's like, what's the fucking point?
I've tried Threads. I don't like it. I'm going to keep on it because I want my username. I never open it. Because it doesn't show you your following the people you actually want to see in order. It shows you a bunch of people that because the algorithm hasn't even figured out, like my Instagram algorithm has figured out I want to see Star Wars content and I want to see shirtless men. Right. Like, it has figured out these are the things that I will interact with.
Of course.
My brand is talking about Star Wars on the internet and being really annoyed about the flamethrower. And speaking of being really annoyed about the flamethrower, Bradley, we have a review.
Okay, great.
We have a new 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. I can't check the ones on Spotify. I keep going to try to look for them. I either can't see them, there aren't any, or...
Do they have reviews on Spotify?
I think you can leave them on specific episodes. I may need to double check and make sure
I've never
missed
checked,
any.
Yeah, I've never checked,
because I don't listen to podcasts on Spotify, so...
I don't either. But apparently, a lot of people do, because according to our numbers, more than half listen to us on Spotify.
Clearly, so. I need to be checking that for the reviews. Sorry, Spotify users.
Yeah.
I'm just used to checking it on Apple Podcasts, so that's on me. I will go back and see if there's any reviews that we may have missed on Spotify. But this one comes from Apple Podcasts. It comes from Darth Saneth, and it says, worth a listen. I discovered GSG through the Divas' podcasting network and reading Charles ranting about all the things, but mostly flamethrowers on the Discord. Side note, Gold Squadron will probably never have a Discord. but you can find me in the Divas Discord if you subscribe to their Patreon and in For Light and Dice, there public Discord, which is free. And I do rant about flamethrowers a lot in those quote, Charles and Bradley are entertaining and make you feel as if you're sitting at a table discussing Star Wars with friends. They have a variety of perspectives of the content and fandom that don't include the toxic fan culture that has risen in Star Wars media. It's another great podcast with good content that I will gladly continue to listen to. Also, I love the Force Unleashed games. Fight me, Charles. Thank you, Darth Saneth, for the review. One of these days, I swear, when we do like an off time at some point, I will replay Force Unleashed and we will talk about it. Like, we're gonna have to do this episode at some point. Because I want to be like, I hate this game completely, like, with every fiber, which I do, kind of hyperbolically, but also I do really hate the Force Unleashed story. But I really would like to delve into why at some point. I think that would be an interesting episode for us to get into. And also generate a lot of people yelling at me on the internet, which gives me attention. Oh, I love it when people yell at me on the internet, specifically Chris. I love it when Chris yells at me on the internet because that gives me serotonin in my little rat brain. So thank you again, Darth Saneth, for the review. And speaking of reviews, it's time for our Visions Only segment called A New Hope. That is the segment where Hope Mullinex from J Guys and Jedi sends me a fucking novel. I pick sections from it, and she sent us a lot on Tatooine Rhapsody. I do want to take this moment before I read some highlights from this, because I thought they were good highlights and I wanted to read them. They actually covered Visions on J Guys and Jedi. It was like right before Andor. It was two before Andor. It was not that long ago that they covered it on J Guys and Jedi. Gotcha. J Guys is on hiatus because Chris, not Dark Side Divas Chris, J Guys and Jedi Chris, is still dealing with the aftermath of the house fire. So they are on hiatus right now, but those episodes are there. If you want to hear Hope talk about them in extreme detail, those episodes are right there. But speaking of Hope talking about Tatooine Rhapsody in extreme detail, I've highlighted three sections here that I want to read because I thought they were very good. And I apologize, Hope, we can't read all of this. We've both read it, but I can't read all of this on the show. Quote, I know you're focusing on the American voice actors, but this is the one time I wanted to point out one of the Japanese voice actors. Akio Kaneda is the Dee Bradley Baker of Japan. Not only is he the official voice actor for Boba Fett, he's also the voice of Rex, Cody, the Bad Batch, and all the clones in the animated series. So it's neat that American audiences got a chance to see him, end quote. That was pretty cool.
That is pretty cool.
I thought that was a fun detail. Quote, the reason Tatooine Rhapsody hit me is because it struck a note that I've wanted for so long in Star Wars. The idea of artists in a galaxy far, far away is a relatively untapped topic. We've got some artists like Sabine Wren and Rebels, but Star Wars has never delved into this. What is it like for artists to go from the Republic to the Empire? How do journalists, actors, musicians, etc. react to this shift? How do they preserve history like with the Jedi being destroyed? What is art in the galaxy? Tatooine Rhapsody was the first real big step in that direction by focusing on a band trying to survive under an oppressive system. It wasn't G's fault he was born into the crime family, but the systems of the Hutts find him. Jay hides in plain sight because no one would ever suspect a Jedi on stage screaming into a microphone. It also hits those High Republic notes from Into the Dark, where there was a Jedi Wayseeker who was a pop star on Naboo. So I very much loved that. I wanted to highlight that specifically. She has a good point. We've kind of seen it a little bit, especially with the journalists. There's a journalist in Aftermath. There's a whole subplot with a journalist where she's going around, like at one point she interviews Mon Mothma. It's pretty cool. But also the From a Certain Point of View books, I'm going to hawk those slightly, especially since Return of the Jedi is about to come out. I think those do deal with some musicians, especially A New Hope, I think has a short story about the musicians.
I was reading, it was one of the Padme novels. I don't remember. It was like the first one, I think. And they delve into that a little bit. There was something about like the tabloids or whatever. And,
They
go into like the paparazzi or like the tabloids, like following her and like all kinds of stuff and like talking shit about her, like in the news and stuff. And you're just like, oh, that's just like any other celebrity. You know what I mean? It's just funny. Like, but they're doing it as a, like a political attack, not necessarily like, oh, what did you know, who did she break up with? It's like, you know,
They go to a concert in Queen's Peril, I think.
Okay, I didn't read that one yet.
And then I also think, I vaguely remember there being a short story, but I can't remember where it was from, of a journalist who's like trying to get close to somebody, some high-ranking Imperial, but I can't remember where that story is from. If you're listening and you remember like a scene where a journalist infiltrates a party to try to get close to a high-ranking Imperial, let me know, because I vaguely remember reading that. I love the idea of art's intersection with, and they were just covering this. I listened to the Darkseid Divas episode on Vision of Hope. And they were talking about, too, like art of like inside the Lothal old Senate building and like how that's based on WPA art from like the early 20th century in the United States. It's all very cool stuff. I desperately have to move on or I will keep naming instances. and the final thing that I have highlighted, quote, the music is probably the make or break for people. People usually like this style of music or they don't. So I'm well aware that the music can make this people's least favorite piece. I agree with Charles that I want so much more from Star Waver. Only the Japanese version of Galactic Dreamer is on Spotify. I wish the English version was also on there, and I need an entire EP too. Galactic Dreamer lives rent-free on my driving playlist, end quote. Also, thank you to the person who tagged me on Twitter to let me know that you can get the Japanese version of Galactic Dreamer on Spotify. Thank you for that. You can get the Japanese version, but not the English version for some reason. So thank you, Hope, for sending in that feedback. That concludes this week's segment of A New Hope. Go listen to the Jedi's and Jedi episode on Tatooine Rhapsody. Bradley, you want to take us into what the fucking hell that I watched this week?
Okay. Yes, this week we're talking about Star Wars Vision Season 1, The Twins, where the twins born into the dark side clash aboard a massive Star Destroyer. Charles, did you
two Star Destroyers. two Star Destroyers. It's two Star Destroyers with an enormous fuck-off gun in the middle of them.
Which would make it a Star Destroyer.
No, it's so, two that are attached.
Nice try. Well, fine. I guess I'll jump right into this. It's called a Gemini-class Star Destroyer, and it is one Star Destroyer. So, fuck you, Charles.
Well, that's subtle. I like this one.
Okay.
The word like is doing a lot of heavy lifting.
Interesting.
It was an experience to watch. I literally just watched it right before we started recording.
Yeah.
And the whole time I'm sitting here going, oh, okay, this is Trigger, and we'll get to Trigger in a minute. This is not the craziest thing I've ever seen Trigger do. I feel bad because
it's a lot.
Yeah, it's a lot. And I also, I hate to say it, I think it kind of loses a little bit on the second viewing, because the first viewing I was like, what the fuck are they doing? Oh my fucking God, are you kidding me? That is fucking insane. And the second time I watch it, I'm like, yeah, that's very pretty. And I'm appreciating the animation artwork, but I'm also not like throwing my hands up into the air the way the first time that I watched it was. We'll also get to it in a minute. I don't like one of the English voice actors. I don't think they did a good job.
Okay.
So we'll get to that. But I will say I had fun watching this one. I definitely had more fun the first time I watched it, but I don't ever think I won't have fun watching it, if that makes sense. What about you, Bradley? Did you like this episode?
Yeah, I thought it was fun. I actually like the how stylistic it is. It's very like, you know, we'll get into the animation stuff, but it's very stylized.
Oh, we will.
Like, it's very stylized. And I really like that. I like the concept of it and stuff. My only thing that I'll say, because I don't really have a place to talk about it, is it was very exposition heavy in the beginning. And I think the episode doesn't actually get quote unquote good until they start fighting each other. And so it's just kind of like a lot of explaining the world and like explaining why the characters exist and why the thing is the thing that it is. And then this makes this suit happen. And then this is why crystals work. And that, like, it was just a lot of exposition in the beginning. Like, and it was just like, whoa, guys, you only have like 15 minutes here. Like, I understand that you're trying to explain away things, but like sometimes you just don't have to because it's Star Wars. So like, just don't worry about it. You know what I mean? Like, let's just kind of get into the story. I feel like if they had gotten into the story quicker, I think it would have been better. I just think it's a little too exposition heavy in the beginning, but that's my only complaint. Other than that, I like it. Yeah. So let's get into the nitpick stuff. Directed by Hiroyuki Imashi and written by Hiromi Wakabayashi.
You're getting much more confident at pronouncing these Japanese names, Bradley.
I know, right? Doing pretty good. This was brought to you by the studio Trigger.
Fucking Christ, Trigger. Okay.
And
Trigger, Bradley.
Well, here's the thing, Charles. You might have to tell us about it because I looked up the list of stuff. Didn't know anything on the list at all.
I do.
One thing. Please enlighten me and other people who may not know anything about Studio Trigger.
Listeners, let me bring you into my relationship for just a minute.
Oh, God.
Because I've been with my boyfriend for over 2 years now, and we watched the season together. This was a few months into the relationship, 4 or 5 months into the relationship. And I was trying to get him into Star Wars. It wasn't really working. But we were going to sit down and watch Visions together, because here's the thing. One of the things you have to understand about my boyfriend. He's a fucking anime snob, like an exhausting anime snob. He's fucking exhausting to watch anime with.
I love it.
Because he's one of those people who knows anime really well, especially anime from about 2012 to about 2021. He knows really, really well. Because he's watched a lot of it. So when we watched the twins, I was like, holy shit, this is the craziest thing I've ever seen in my entire life. And he looks over at me and goes, this is just a Trigger show. I'm like, yeah, but I've never seen a Trigger show before.
Right.
He's like, oh, you have never seen a Trigger show. Why? You cannot speak upon this topic until we have educated you upon the topic, which you need to speak. So he did make me sit through the entirety of Kill la Kill. I have watched Kill la Kill all the way through. I have watched some episodes of Space Patrol Luluco. I think I watched the first 2 episodes of it. And I have seen some of Darling in the Franxx, not all of it. So I'm reasonably familiar-ish with Studio Trigger. Kill la Kill probably being the biggest thing that I could point to that I could go, yeah, that's Trigger. It is nearly impossible to describe Okay. Because, okay, so you know how The Twins starts with a fuckload of exposition, basically explaining how the plot works, and then proceeds to become fucking unhinged,
right,
and keep it gradually escalating to the point where it has become ridiculous, or it become cool, and then ridiculous, and then so ridiculous that it has become cool again? That is basically the experience of watching Kill la Kill. Kill la Kill, to what I remember of the plot, and I was assured that this show had a plot, but I couldn't, like, for the life of me tell you specific details. It was about a girl who goes to a school and there's a battling thing that they can do, but also her clothes, her school uniform, is alive and can turn into a weapon, but only once it, like, becomes a really skimpy, like, outfit and she can fight with it. And the student council president has, like, the other one of these clothing that turns into super powerful weapons. And it's a very bizarre show. I did watch all of it, all 24 episodes. That's about the extent of the plot that I could relay to you.
This is why I hate anime. Charles, I think I lost 10 brain cells after you told me the plot of this show.
Yes, it was really big on Tumblr in 2013, 2014 when it was coming out. Oh, yeah, I bet it was. Well, it's the same thing as The Twins, right? It's these very stylized, over-the-top visuals with a bare bones but somehow convoluted plot.
Right.
That just becomes fucking unhinged by the end of it. I watched the whole thing. Can't say if I liked it. But I certainly watched it. Also, they might have been lesbians at the end. It's really unclear. Like, I'm not sure. Like, we had a debate about this. But, that's Kill la Kill. So basically, I watched that and then I came back and watched The Twins and I was like, yeah, this is basically Studio Trigger doing one of their Studio Trigger shows. Because Darling in the Franxx is the same way. It starts out a little more grounded, but then it escalates to the point of just absolutely batshit ridiculousness. But I watched The Twins and I was like, yeah, this is a Trigger show on fucking fast forward.
Gotcha.
Like, there you go. Do I recommend Kill la Kill? No. No. Watch like one episode, and if you like it, you'll like the whole thing. And if you don't get into it, then you're not gonna get into the whole thing. Sorry. I thought Space Patrol Luluco, the episode I watched, was pretty fun. So that's my experience with Studio Trigger. With apologies to my boyfriend, who once again, this entire series of us watching Visions is an extended apology too for that first Visions episode. Sorry, honey. I am gonna keep forcing you to watch Monster.
Again, another thing that has nothing to do with the show. So, moving on to...
I will keep shoehorning Monster into these episodes because I am the only person who watches it.
Yeah, I guess so.
Netflix for me. That is specifically for me to watch.
Okay, so we can move on to the... If you're good with the studio, we can move on to the English voices. So this week, we did have a returning person. I'll just talk about them briefly for a second. Mark Thompson did return this week. He just voiced the Stormtrooper.
Good fun fact, Mark Thompson.
The Stormtroopers in this episode are called T-Stormtroopers. T for twins.
Huh. Just
throwing that in there. It's a little factoid. Trust me, that's not the most subtle thing that this episode has done. We did talk about the Gemini class Star Destroyer. That's literally like the twin theme is very prominent in this episode.
Before we talk about the twins, I actually do want to talk about another side voice character, the other person. I just want to mention him real fast. That is Jonathan LaPau. We have heard Jonathan LaPau in a lot of Star Wars. He's in The Bad Batch, and I do think, let me double check here, that he's also in Resistance.
Yes.
He does a lot of Star Wars. Well, I know he was in The Bad Batch.
Yes. Yeah, he was Gungi.
I can't find anything else, and he was in The Old Republic. Oh, he's Gungi in The Bad Batch. I did not know that. I have
him on my list. He is in Resistance.
He's in 21 episodes of Resistance. Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, I got ahead of you.
Jonathan, you needed your time to shine, and Charles just wanted to give it to you.
I just wanted to praise Jonathan LaPau for his stunning voice acting in The Bad Batch and Star Wars Resistance.
He also does the voice of the droid in this episode, by the way, which I don't think we mentioned yet, but he does the C-3PO protocol droid.
Yeah.
Okay, moving on to the twins. Carrie or Kare.
Kare?
I guess. I think it was supposed to be more like in that realm. It is voiced by Neil Patrick Harris, known for How I Met Your Mother, a series of unfortunate events on Netflix, a confirmed gay. So we love that for him because he is married to a man and has children, which are twins, by the way. So that's just thought that was hilarious.
Love that for Neil Patrick Harris. Don't love Neil Patrick Harris in this.
Gotcha.
Okay. He's the one that I didn't like very much.
Really? Okay.
He was playing the part so like anime protagonist-y.
Yeah.
Like when I was watching it in the Japanese, I was like, he was one of my favorite characters. I was like, oh, I love this guy. This guy's great. And I was listening to Neil Patrick Harris' voice and I'm like, this is the dullest. Like, it's good. It's just a dull choice for what he does with this. It was very like Ash Ketchum or every hot-blooded anime protagonist man you've ever seen on any shonen show ever at all. He's doing that voice. And I'm like, I genuinely thought it was like Crispin Freeman or someone doing this voice. Before I saw it at the end, I was like, that is Neil Patrick fucking Harris? What? And like, again, he's fine. I just think the choice of how he voices this character was a very uninspired choice.
And I think they could have probably gotten somebody younger. Not that he's old by any means, but I feel like these are the twins in this story are supposed to be they're not supposed to be like adults, or at least to me, it doesn't seem that they're supposed to be like full on adults.
Young adults,
they're supposed to
maybe.
Be young. Yeah. Like they're supposed to be teens 20s. Almost. Yeah. So maybe somebody younger. That would have been maybe a more interesting. Before we move on though, Neil Patrick Harris does technically have a Disney trifecta.
Good for him.
He was in the Muppets movie, which is our Disney thing. And then he was the voice of Spider-Man in the Spider-Man TV series. So I don't know which one, because there's been a bunch. I didn't bother to look at the year, so don't worry about that. But I feel like that's what he was kind of playing, was that essentially that Spider-Man-esque.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
He like was that Peter doing Parker. The protagonist yeah. voice. And yeah. the protagonist voice I've heard 1,000 times before. I was expecting something more from him. And I also was expecting something more from the character. Because the girl is hamming it the fuck up.
Oh,
the girl is having
the best part.
The best time playing this role. Who is playing An?
Is it Am?
It's An. An.
It's A-M though.
Am. Am. It's Am. Am. It's Am. That's how they pronounce it in English. It's Am.
Okay. Well, I don't. That was the one thing I actually didn't like about the episode is her name is too short. Like I was like, what is this? Like, give her a better name. But anyway, voiced by Alison Brie, best known for Community, Glow on Netflix, and Mad Men, which I didn't know she was in. She also has a Disney trifecta technically. She's a technical Disney trifecta, and I'll tell you
why. I love these technicals.
All right, so hers is borderline not, and I'll tell you why, because she is in one episode of Hannah Montana.
Okay,
so that would be her Disney thing. And then she does the voice Black Widow in Marvel Academy, which is some kind of app or video game or something. So I don't know. I guess it's a
she has a better thing. She has a better one, which is she's the voice of Aftershock in Marvel's Moon Girl and Devil Dinosaur.
Oh, I don't even know what that is. I didn't even see that. So I guess I guess I didn't recognize it as a Marvel thing because
it says Marvel in the name.
Oh, okay. Well, then there. That's a better, yeah, that's definitely better than what I gave her. So
I think they might have snuck this under the radar.
Maybe because I remember people mentioning this,
but then I haven't seen anything about it, so I don't know if it's come out or not yet.
Well, if it did, good for her. If it didn't, check it out on Disney Plus, probably.
I know Alison Brie best as the voice of Unikitty in the Lego Movie.
I knew you were going to bring up Lego Movie. I was like, you know what?
You saw the Lego Movie on.
I
here,
did, and I was trying to avoid it.
And you went, he's gonna mention this. but she is also Amber in The Disaster Artist, which is another movie I'm going to recommend to people. I am going to recommend the book more, but the movie is also pretty good. It's James Franco and Dave Franco are in the two lead roles.
I've heard of it. I just haven't.
It's a pretty okay adaptation of the book, which is just batshit unhinged nonsense.
So yeah, that was our voice cast.
Lloyd voice cast.
Yeah. Moving on to the animation style. So we kind of talked about the studio, and you said Studio Trigger. This is like blatantly their name all over.
This is their thing. Okay. If you Google Kill la Kill and you look at 30 seconds of a clip from a fight scene in Kill la Kill, you will immediately identify this is what Trigger does.
Yeah,
this is their kind of thing.
It's definitely over the top. It's definitely stylized, dramatic, like very like they focus heavily on action sequences, right? Like, so I noticed that when it's not action, all the camera movements are very still and like very static. And then it's like when it is time to do some kind of battle or running or action-y thing, it's all very like dramatic and close-ups and like far away, but then also really close at the same time. Like they did a really good job. I thought it was really cool to watch. Very comic booky almost.
Yeah, I think if the first week, if the duel was like serious anime for film connoisseurs, yeah, and week two was like, here's a fun adventure with a bunch of kids that you could very easily watch on daytime Cartoon Network in 2005, then The Twins is the type of anime that only like your one friend who's really into anime has the DVDs of, and he'll put on episodes of it occasionally, and he'll insist it's like the best thing he's ever seen in his life, and you'll be like, what the fuck is this? What the fuck is going on? I'm into it because I'm 11, and this is crazy, but I could not possibly tell you what the plot of this is. I just know that guy sliced a Star Destroyer in half with a lightsaber, and that rules. But it's the kind of one that had like a limited DVD release, and somebody bought it from like an FYE in a mall in Charlotte, North Carolina. and that's how you see this anime.
Yeah, it's
the vibe that it gave me watching this, because it wasn't the type of thing that like I would have watched on TV and I would have seen, but it was the kind of thing that I know that my friends who are much more into anime than I was, because I hadn't at this point really discovered anime,
right,
but my friends in like middle school who were really into it, this is the kind of thing they would have watched, or the thing they would have bought the DVD of, or I would have been shown like clips from this on like proto YouTube, like YouTube in 2008 2009. Somebody would have uploaded a clip from this, or uploaded this episode in three parts on YouTube. Do you remember when we had to watch TV shows in three parts on YouTube, Bradley? Did you ever do this?
I personally didn't, but you know that people do this every single day on TikTok, except it's 26 parts, and they also have to watch Minecraft at the same time.
Everything old is new again, and also I cannot get enough of those coin jumping videos where they have their on the top of the train and they do the little coin, but then they also like read the Reddit post.
That's half my TikTok too. It's so weird.
I watch a lot of those videos. But this is the kind of thing that like, it's very much the kind of over the top, like crazy trip anime. Like that's just, it's there to, bizarrely, because it like, you would look at it on the surface and be like, this is here to deliver this visual experience. There's so much fucking story. They go out of their way to explain the story. I do not know why I needed an explanation of the Star Destroyer.
Yeah,
I did not need that. Did love the flashback though of them being created by the Sith cultists from Rise of Skywalker. That was dope. I liked that.
I did like that. And you know what's okay? I shouldn't say this because I'm not trying to push the gay agenda or anything, but I need to tell you something. I froze the screen when I was watching it, okay. So I stopped it like during the flashback scene.
Okay.
And there's a part in the flashback where they show both of the twins at the same time, and they look exactly the same. Like, so the
I know where you're going with this, because we talked about it last time, and I also 100%
I'm not trying to push the gay agenda, but like I don't know if they meant to do this or if this was just a happy accident or something, but
I don't think they intended to do this, but the fact that this is so easy to read as a trans metaphor,
right,
or like a coming out and escaping your shitty family and becoming who you want to be rather than who people are telling you need to be.
I mean, if we didn't want to push
this,
even
is
more
queer as hell. This is queer as hell.
But what's interesting is that Kare or Carrie is technically the trans one, because that's the one who's trying to escape the dark side. Yeah, you know what I mean?
That's my reading. That's what we talked about in one of the moments from the previous Visions episode that aged well, unlike right. most of that episode, which didn't. Right. You brought this up. And yeah, that's when I watched it again before recording this episode, I had the same reaction. I was like, oh yeah, this is a fucking queer as hell story. Yeah, like this I really resonates. Liked it. Yeah. Like for all my criticisms of the actual like script itself and how much exposition they do. Right. And also the fact that I didn't really like it as much on the second viewing because I kind of knew it was all coming. Yeah, this reads as such a queer ass story and I love it so much.
And I mean, look, I get it. On a face value, what they were going for was like basically someone in the pitch meeting was like, what if Luke and Leia were evil? You know, like that was right. like the base level of what it was, right? Or like, what if they were raised by Vader instead of by, you know, their respective, you know,
what if they were made by fucking creepy cultists?
Which right.
That's
right.
another dimension to it, that they were raised in this like explicitly religious context.
That's like, why I'm like, there's so much more to this story that they could have done.
They picked the fucking, like, cultists from Rise of Skywalker. They picked the ones that are explicitly sitting there, like, doing their creepy chanting and stuff. Like, yeah. That's who they picked for this guy it's to be escaping wild. From. And I'm like, the queer metaphors, they are metaphoring, right? They're cooking with something here.
There's something.
They're not going all the way with it. Or, like, that he ends up, like, slicing through the Star Destroyer, but, like, his lightsaber becomes a giant rainbow sword.
I mean,
this is the most, this is the gayest like thing I've seen since an animation that I don't think was intended to be that way since He-Man.
I all I was missing was a Sailor Moon transformation. I mean, like, why didn't
he gets one. Well, not like a full transformation. Well, a reverse kind of like, one. He reverses it. Like he like pops the armor off
when he's right.
like revealing his true self underneath. And I'm like,
I'm this, just saying.
This is good shit.
I almost feel like if a different studio had, and it wasn't as focused on the action stuff and it was more focused on the story stuff, it could have got there. Like, it could have been pushed to that limit of this next level, like, thought. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, because as it stands right now, we have to read into it. And I'm like, I love reading this into it.
Right.
Because for me, everything is a queer metaphor in my brain.
Of course.
But this one's really explicit. This one is not hard to make that leap. I'm not, like, leaping across right. a chasm here. I am hopping across a crack in the pavement to get to this interpretation of the text.
Right. Like, you don't have to do it, but if you wanted to, like, if you are queer, you can be like, oh yeah, this is definitely it. You know what I mean?
If you're queer and you grew up in a religious environment, you looked at this and went, I'm feeling some type of way about this.
Yeah.
This short. There's something going on here.
So moving on, unless you have anything else about the story you want to talk about.
I have one more thing about the story, but it's my final thought. So
okay, so we'll save it for your final thought.
My final thought.
I just want to give you some little fun facts about this episode.
I love fun facts.
I feel like they have a lot of just little things in this episode that we can just kind of blip it about. I'm not going to quote them all, but there's about like three or four direct Star Wars quotes in this art. They allude to Star Wars quotes, at least. And I mean, I'm not going to go into all of them, but I've got a bad feeling about
well,
this.
Well, they hold a maneuver. They hold a maneuver at one point.
The droid
says, I have a bad feeling about this, which is a reference to The Last Jedi when BB-8's the one that says it.
Of course.
I will say part of the feedback Hope sent was that she recommended that people watch the featurettes. I haven't watched them. I just have too much going on. I'm barely able to fit in watching the episodes currently. But apparently there's also a lot of good like behind the scenes trivia and stuff. I don't know if you're watching them, Bradley, but I am not.
I'm not, but I guess I could theoretically.
I could rearrange things around and see maybe some of them I might watch. Village Bride, I'm gonna watch the fucking featurette because I want to come into that one guns blazing. That's my favorite one.
I've only got two like little three maybe three things that I saw that were really
interesting. Give me some fun facts, Bradley.
So let's talk about sound for a second. So there's
I love sound. It was the last class that you and I took together before I had to drop out.
Right. So there's a sound design little fun thing in this episode where Am's lightsabers are held by several, you know, like mechanical arms. And guess what sounds are used in this section? Those of It's a combination of General Grievous's multiple lightsaber sounds and Kylo Ren's unstable blade sound.
So yeah, because if you look at her lightsabers, they are slightly unstable.
Yeah, there you go. I just thought that was like a fun little thing. Love the it. Protocol droid, his name is B2ON, and it is shifting all of the letters of C-3PO back space.
Oh,
so it's like,
does it also explain why he needs to have like an air bubble in space? Or are we just chalking that up to trigger?
We haven't even gotten to that part yet. I was going to bring that up later, but I guess I should have brought that up during the story. But so there is an explanation, or what someone thinks the explanation is for that. Okay. I guess I can bring it up here. So Charles, you very astutely pointed out that there's a part in the episode where the protocol droid utilizes a space helmet in space to breathe for some reason. And then the twins, when they're fighting on the Star Destroyer, do not have helmets and can breathe in space. And that is a choice.
Correct.
So I did some research. And someone's explanation.
I love this journey for you. This is so delightful. I love it. I love it because one, I'm the one screwing up the outline. And right. Two, Bradley's the one doing all the research. I love when we get to shift places.
So from what I could find, the guess of what this means is that, they can't explain the protocol droid. Doesn't make any sense whatsoever, other than it's just a silly thing. No one can explain. I don't even think the writers have explained why this is the way it is. It just is. They at least give some explanation for the twins being able to breathe in the space. And that is the fact that the Star Destroyers are so big that they create their own atmosphere. I guess that was the explanation that someone came up with.
That's not how atmospheres
I'm just saying, that's the explanation that someone came up with because it's so ridiculous. So
okay. The single dumbest thing I've ever heard. Okay.
I mean, the droid needed a helmet to breathe. So we'll go with this is just how this is.
Sure.
Okay. My last little fun fact is that the armor worn by Carrie is based on the Ralph McQuarrie concept design for Darth Vader.
Very cool.
So it's very angular. If you look at both of them side by side, you can see it. It's really cool. So yeah, there's that. And those are my little facts. So Charles, I guess all that I have to ask you now is, do you want to see this in any kind of media moving forward? Or what would you envision this story continuing as, if you want it to continue?
Yeah, I want 23 more episodes of this. I just want this.
Okay.
I just want this with escalating ridiculousness until they're blowing up galaxies.
Okay.
I want unhinged fucking nonsense. I want whatever the fuck the ending of Darling of the Franks was. I want that level of ridiculousness in this Star Wars show. Yeah, I think they left it on an interesting, like, hopeful note, and like, clearly it could keep going because, you know, the brother got away, but the sister's still kind of stuck in there, and a lot of it's within her own, like, mind, and it could go, but I just want to see this get more increasingly ridiculous. So I want 23 more episodes of this. What about you, Bradley? How would you like to see this continued, if you want to see it continued at all?
So controversial. I do want to see the story continue. I don't want to see the animation continue. I don't want this particular animation house to use this story. I would love for this concept of twins born within the dark side cult, and then how do they get to where they are, you know, later on, you know, as one rebels, basically. That concept for a TV show or something like that, or, you know, more episodes, or like, I don't even know if it would be cartoon or if it would be live action. Like, I think it would be fucking sick if that was a real show. I mean, that to me, like, I mean, you got either actual twins or you had somebody playing both roles. That would be really cool, because then that would be such a like a cool like concept for someone to be like, oh, I'm gonna play essentially like the same character, but like just different facets of the character. Like, you know, I just think that'd be such a fun challenge for someone.
All right, do we have any final thought? I'll go first with my final thoughts.
Yeah.
So somebody at Trigger really liked the sequel trilogy.
Specifically your favorite movie, but yes.
Well, there's more Tross stuff in there than there is Last Jedi. Like, it's all over this. It really is all over this. Like, it's explicitly said after Rise of Skywalker, like, somebody really liked the sequels, because this is like a love letter to the sequel trilogy. And it's great. I love seeing the sequels get some love. And especially, too, with a lot of the other shorts are going to more tie back to the original trilogy or the prequel trilogy. This one really being a shoot off of the sequel trilogy, I thought was very cool. And I liked that a lot. Yeah, I don't want to give people the impression that I disliked this short just because I wasn't as hot about it the second time I saw it. Still liked it, just nothing will ever recreate that experience of first watching it. So if you have a friend who's never seen Vision, show them this episode. You will enjoy watching their facial journey. Bradley, what about you? Final thoughts?
Yeah, no, I liked this episode. I thought it was very fun and dramatic. And I think actually I give the Studio Trigger like their props because it definitely is over the top and it is jarring and shocking. And there are things in it that you go, what the fuck? Like, this is great. Like, you know, I think more we need more of that in Star Wars because I like the idea of just turning Star Wars on its head. Like, you know, the rules don't matter. Like, just make up stuff. Like, who cares? Like, just go fucking wild with it. And that's why I like Visions, because I feel like people do that from time to time. And that's what this is. And I give them their props. So I quite enjoyed it.
Awesome. Well, what are we doing next week? Is it The Village Bride? Say it's The Village Bride.
Charles,
Village
Bride, I don't Bride, know Bride. The episode order of the.
Find the episode order, you fucking
yes,
twink.
Yes, it is The Village Bride. We're doing The Village Bride.
Incidentally, I will continue referring to Bradley as a twink, no matter how much older he gets while making this show. This will remain forever. You will be the eternal twink here, Bradley.
Loves it.
But yes, we are doing the Village Bride next. Plugs! You can also find me on For Light and Dice, TTRPG set in the High Republic. It's fun. We're gearing towards our season finale. A lot is happening. It's fucking insane. Bradley, we're plugging what? Temptation Island for you still on USA Network and also on Peacock.
That's it.
Awesome. All right. Bradley, run socials.
Thank you for listening to Gold Squadron Gaze. Did Charles fuck something up? Send us a message at goldsquadrongaze@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter at Gold Squad Gaze. Follow us on Instagram and TikTok at Gold Squadron Gaze. Subscribe to us on YouTube at Gold Squadron Gaze, where we post the podcast as well as exclusive content. Please join us next week and every week for more of Gold Squadron Gaze.
Oh my gosh, have you been getting all of those exhausting stories about that TikTok couple that broke up or whatever?
So dumb. Y'all care too much about these fucking gays. Like, give it a rest, okay?
And like, if it were just like on TikTok, it would be one thing, but it's like, they're writing articles about it. Like, these gay publications are writing articles, and I'm like, why do y'all care?
This is why you don't date and put your relationship on the internet for other people to fandom over.
Exactly.